Now, my friends on TalkSport and Talk, let me share something with you about our next guest. He's that rare breed today, a dedicated loyal scout who's played the game, knows it inside out, and has the track record to prove it. But don't take my word for it, because those aren't my words. That's how Sam Allardyce describes Dave Worthington in the foreword to a fascinating, funny, and at times very moving book called Worthy, The Scouting Adventures and Football Life of Dave Worthington, written by the man himself with top football writer and broadcaster Philip Dawkes. And I'm delighted to say that the main man, known to many as Worthy, I'm going to call him Dave, Dave Worthington, joins us now. Good morning, Dave. And let me start with belated happy birthday congratulations, because you were 80 back in March, Macy. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yes, thanks a lot, Paul. Yeah, it was... I think many years ago when people my teammates and that, some of them told me that I'd never get to 50 the way I was acting. But anyway, I've managed it to 80, and we had a great party in Ellen near Halifax on my birthday. So, it was terrific. A lot of old mates come in from all over the country. Yeah, it was fantastic. So it's great.
And as we learn from the book, you're very much from a football family. I mean, your two brothers, Frank and Bob, both played. Your son, Gary, was a pro player. And your mum even played. Your dad played for Halifax Town as well. But before we get to that, your mum even played in the Second World War, didn't she, when she was in the RAF?
Yeah. It probably wasn't ladies' football at that time. But mum was brought up in a family with four brothers. And they all took her down to watch Halifax Town when she was a kid. And so when she was in the forces, the women's RAF, apparently, this is just from her mouth, but she used to tell Bob, Frank and myself and our Julie, when Julie was born, she told us all about her escapades at playing football in the RAF. And one of her favourite stories was that they won 1-0, 11-0, sorry, they won 11-0 on one occasion, and she scored 9 goals, so she's better than any of us. Yeah.
Now, your dad, I mentioned, was a player for Halifax, but then the Second World War intervenes. And I think he joined the Royal Engineers, you say in the book, but then he signed up as a paratrooper because there was a bit of extra money. And he was one of those brave, incredibly brave men who dropped on Arnhem, as featured in the film A Bridge Too Far. Incredibly lucky he came back, incredibly lucky. I'm talking to you because I think of the 10,000 who parachuted in, only 2,000 returned. Incredibly
that's
brave
right.
man.
Yeah. And that's why I think Bob and Frank and myself, as footballers, Dad taught us lots of things, but one thing was being brave in the game, you know, whichever position we played in, we all had to be brave. But he always said, you know, never, ever give up. Yeah. If somebody's hammering you, you never give up, you know. And he meant that individually as well as, you know, as a team effort. So, so we were all very proud of Dad. And unfortunately, he died at 52 years of age. So it was very sad after he'd gone through the war and come back and missed his football career. It was. It's one of the things that's been the biggest regret of my life, really. You know, missing my dad when I was growing up and when I started my family, and you know, I just missed him so much. You know, it was so sad.
And when we talk about your early career, I mean, I think you made almost 500 appearances for Halifax, for Barrowtown, Grimsby, Southend as well. And we meet some real characters in this book, folks. Talking to Dave Worthington, also the brilliant book called Worthy, published by Pitch. Tell me a bit about Harry Hooper, because this was an era when you were playing. I think you got, if you had a win, you got a £4 bonus. If you had a draw, you got a £2 bonus. But you always knew Harry Hooper was coming, your manager, didn't you?
Oh, you did, yeah, because we'd be up in the dressing rooms at the far end of the stadium getting changed, and the manager used to come from his office quite a long way away, and he was always smoking in those days, and he would got a cigarette in his mouth, and he would trundle up all the way up to our dressing room to pin the team sheet on the board, and he'd be singing, "Do not forsake me, oh my darling."
From High Noon, of course.
Yeah, High Noon, and it was always the same with Harry. Especially Fridays when the team sheet was going up. It was really funny. You knew when he was coming, when he turned that corner, because you could smell the smoke and you can hear him singing.
I mean, it's a different world, isn't it? There's smoking, there's pubs, there's a different kind of ethos. But there's some amazing stories. including the time, and I think you ended up not having a great season at Grimsby that season, I mean the team, but you managed to beat Scunthorpe 7-1, and Ray Clements was in goal for them.
That's right, yeah, he was yeah, fantastic goalkeeper for Liverpool and England after that, but he certainly was frightened of Grimsby Town that day, and it was a local derby, which made it all the more better, didn't it? You know, really good for our fans. And I was over at Grimsby last weekend at a game, and they still talk about that 7-1 victory, you know.
And of course, we spoke to a Diary of the Wall Grimsby fan not so long ago after that historic victory over Man United recently.
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely brilliant. Phil and I had a book launch that night, so otherwise I'd have probably been over at Grimsby, but we had a book launch, and so we were talking about the book and selling books, and people kept showing me their phones and saying Grimsby are one up, and then the penalties was crazy, absolutely crazy, yeah. It was a great result for them, yeah.
Now, before we move on to your scouting career, I did want to ask you just to tell us, I mean, again, a shaft of light into a different era of football. You're going to a reserves game. You're a very young man then. You've just signed for them, for Grimsby. And you bump into somebody who says he's obviously a fan, a chap called Claude Hodgson, and you get him a couple of free tickets for this reserve game, probably only worth about 10 bob, which is 50p in the new money. And then he does something remarkable, this fella, for the next, I think, 7.5 years, isn't it? Tell us more, would you please, Dave?
It is, yeah, because it was just a reserve game on a Tuesday night, and I thought I'll go down and watch them because I didn't know many of the lads then. I'd just arrived at Grimsby. So I'm walking down the street towards the ground, and just probably 50, 60 yards behind him, but I was catching him up. And when we actually got to the ground, I'd been chatting to him, and I said, just wait there, I'll get you a ticket. So I got him a ticket to watch the reserve team play. And it was unbelievable, because on the Thursday following that Tuesday night, because I'd given him that little ticket, that was all it was for, you know, small amount of money, there was a parcel of fish he handed to my wife, and that parcel of fish was good enough for a family of 12, never mind just three of us at the time. Yeah. And that parcel of fish came every Thursday, all the time I was at Grimsby Town, over 7 years. Even when I moved house, he followed up and started bringing the fish to the new house as well.
So what a lovely fella.
What a fantastic bloke, yeah. Well done, Claude, yeah.
Now, we talked a lot about your playing career. I mentioned you go to Southend. You then, I think, you go as a caretaker manager to Halifax. And I think it's around that time your scouting career starts. But you had met somebody, because you'd coached as well, and you met Graham Taylor at Grimsby, didn't you? It's obvious even from the start that he was somebody incredibly hard-working, industrious, but somebody with a great eye for the strategy of the game, you say in the book.
Yeah, great. I mean, Graham was playing at left back for Grimsby when I got there, and we became good pals because I was doing my coaching badges, and a few years later when I was having a bit of a bad time at Grimsby, not me physically playing, but a new manager came in and wanted. I don't think he wanted me in there. And Graham wanted to sign me when he'd gone to Lincoln as player manager. And he wanted to sign me as his coach. And Grimsby wouldn't let me go at that point because the board said, no, he can't go to Lincoln, he can't go to Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was too close for comfort with the press. We'll give him some stick. But as soon as Southend came in for me, they said, yeah, you can go now. So on your bike, you know. So I missed that coaching with Graham. But he was offering me the job, you know, as his coach. And I think I would have really enjoyed that. And, you know, now I look back and from 80 years of age, I think, well, what could I have done in those days with him? It could have been a great partnership. Or we could have both been sacked within weeks. You never know in football. You can't tell.
But we do know in football as a scout. I mean, you brought to the English game some amazing. But Nicolas Anelka, for example, nearly Karim Benzema and Hugo Lloris. But when you started out, I mean, you know, you've been coaching for a little while. Then you go to work with I think it was Neil Thompson first of all at Boston United. Then you go to work with Sam Allardyce, who wrote that lovely forward to the book. At Bolton, then it's Chelsea, and then back to Sam at Blackburn Rovers. But your Bolton period as a scout for him, was incredible, and that was an incredible squad you and him built around that time.
Yeah, we had a great time. I mean, it started with Jack Chapman, who was the chief scout for Sam in those days when I first went. But Jack and Sam gave me the chance because I was going through a second divorce at that time.
Yeah.
And I bought a little cottage out in France. I needed to get my head round things again. And I bought a little cottage and I said, look, I'll do some scouting out in France for you, you know, if you want. And so that's where part of Bolton's sort of international scouts came from, you know, because I was one of the first ones to go and do it and give them reports week in, week out, you know, on all these French players and some good French players, you know, some terrific French African boys that were playing and coming and living in Paris and, you know, playing for various clubs there. So, yeah, it was good for me getting some information to Sam. And my career sort of went up a few, I got a fair bit of credit for that, really, getting some ordinary players into Bolton and then eventually finishing up with getting Anelka there. That was the real joy for me.
And then you're scouting, I think, with Hull City, with Chelsea, but you're back with Sam at Blackburn Rovers. Now, Blackburn Rovers aren't having the best of seasons at the moment, but again, no. they're an amazing side with an amazing history. What was, had Sam changed in that interval? I mean, were they looking for different players? Because we're then well and true, I know the Premier League has started in 92, 93, but by then it's become a very different kind of football, isn't it? And the Premier League is very different to what it would have been when it was the old League Division 1 when you were playing.
Yeah. Blackburn, I think we kept the same sort of lookout as we did at Bolton because we'd been successful at Bolton. So Sam was trying to, you know, become Bolton again, but just next door at Blackburn. So, you know, we wanted that type of player because we knew it would be a struggle to battle and fight every week. So you don't always need 100% top quality players. You need players that have got a reasonable, you know, pretty good amount of ability, but lads that are going to fight and, you know, put the bodies on the line for you week in, week out. And so that was the type of player we wanted. But unfortunately, Sam didn't last too long at Blackburn.
When you were scouting, did you have to talk to the player that you were kind of looking at and interested in? Did you need to get a sense of what their character was like, what their personality was like, whether they'd be good as a team player, for example?
Well, yeah, I was always, I think, not fortunate, but I, because I've been a player at a level and fought for a living for so many years, that I knew what I was looking for in that respect, you know, for character-wise. But we'd often find out, you know, players that have played with these guys and chatted to them rather than to the player, you know. And even, it was no good talking to his agent because his agent would just tell you he was the finest thing since sliced bread, you know. So we'd just find family, anybody in the family or things like that, you know, that we could find little bits and snippets about them and check the characters.
Talking of family, there's lovely photographs in this book, folks, of you, of your children. I mentioned your son was a pro player. And of you, as I think you're about 2 years old, looking like, well, not looking like you looked when you were a player, but you've got this kind of Bill Haley kiss curl on top of your head in the
photograph, Dave. That's my mum's favourite brandy snap curl. It was like a piece of brandy snap on the top of my head, yeah. And I can tell you now at 80, I've still got that little bit of a curl, even though I've lost most of my hair.
Well, it was like a pre-Elvis quiff, because like your brother Frank, who I'm a bit obsessed with, you're both huge Elvis fans, aren't you? But you got there as the eldest, you got there before Frank.
That's right, I did, and it wasn't until I moved up to Barrow-in-Furness, I'd be 19, left home, and when I actually got up there and unpacked all my belongings, I realised that there was two LP records of Elvis missing, and I went back to Frank, who'd suddenly become an Elvis fan, because he was nearly 4 years younger than me, and he was an Elvis fan, and I said, well, where's my records? You must have taken my records, Frank. No, never, Dave. I did not. And he swore blind all for years and years and years that he didn't take them. But I know what, he did. He definitely did, yeah.
And I've still got it somewhere. Frank's book with a rather different title to yours. We're talking to Dave Worthington, author of Worthy, The Scouting Adventures of Football Life of Dave Worthington. His book was called One Hump or Two. And there's a story in the book you tell when he splits his trousers. Can we ask you to tell that story for us, please, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was over at a game. I can still see the picture of him doing it. I come over from Grimsby for a game to watch Huddersfield one evening, Tuesday match, I think it was. And I've been out with Trevor, all the lads, all the Huddersfield lads went out, Trevor Cherry and all those lads, And we'd been out after the game for a beer or two. And we'd walking away from the pub, and Frank jumped off this wall. And they all had the club suits on. And it was a brand new club suit. And he jumped off this wall. And unfortunately, when he landed, he split the trouser down to his knee. And he went, "Oh no, new club suit." And Frank didn't bother. He just ripped it down to the bottom. And then he ripped the other side as well. And just, he said, I can't wear that on Saturday, can I?" So he went back to his cowboy jacket and his jeans, So it didn't go down very well with Ian Greaves, the manager, but Frank got away with it because he probably scored a goal or two that day as well.
He must have looked like a cowboy, though, with these flapping chaps on.
That's right. That's exactly what it was, yeah.
And how are things with it at the moment, though? I know you've retired effectively, Dave, but you're happy in life?
Yeah, I've been really surprised by the book. It's taken Phil and myself two years to do it. He's interviewed me, and I love the way he's done it. He really has written it well, and I'm getting lots of compliments from various places. I had one from Spain this morning from an agent, an English agent that he's lived out in Spain for a long time. I used to speak to and go to in Madrid, and he was complimenting me on the way it's written and many of the things that he didn't know about me. He thought he knew a lot about me, but he said there's so many things that he didn't know. And people have said that in the village that I've met that have read it now, and they're saying that the same thing, that there's so many things we didn't know about you, and it's really nice to see. So I think he's done a really good job, Phil.
And you've had an amazing life, and long may it continue. The book's called Worthy, The Scouting Adventures and Football Life of Dave Worthington with Philip Dawkes, published by Pitch. It's a brilliant read and a brilliant kind of snapshot of changes in British society, changes in our culture, and changes in football. And that's available from Pitch. It's out now. And Dave was our special guest this week. It's our Talk Sport and Talk book of the week called Worthy, published by Pitch. And we're live till 5. Cheers, Dave.